doing, this is the Haftarah, the other part of the prophet reading for the segment of Genesis 18. Last week we read, our last time we read Isaiah 33 and Isaiah 34, now this time it's Ezekiel 18. Would you...
Okay, the word of the Lord came unto me again, saying, what mean you that you use this proverb concerning the land of Israel, saying, the fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge. As I live, saith the Lord God, ye shall not have occasion any more to use this proverb in Israel. Behold, all souls are mine, as the soul of the father, so also the son, so also the soul of the son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die.
Okay. The soul, there are three parts of all men, the spirit, the body, and the soul. That, let me put that another way. There are three visible parts, that's the, in terms of our sense, the parts that we can conceive or perceive with the senses. All the soul is the thing that makes you you. It's your the things that make you different from anyone else. The personality, the emotions, the will, the intellect. It's the mind and the emotions. And the soul that sins shall die. Now, that is a concept that has incredible theological implications in most religions, because it talks about you either go to heaven or hell. And so they think, well, I'm going to be a soul, and they imagine all these god-awful things of a soul in hell doing weird stuff, or a soul in heaven doing...
golfing on clouds.
Yeah, running around in clouds and being bored to death. But both, the problem is, it's the soul that sins shall die, and all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That the position, all of these things that are part of the law, which the soul that sins shall die, it's to cause you to rush and run to the cross, so that the death, the judgment seat, can take place now at the cross instead of at the judgment day. Do you understand? Now that's what we are about as a body. That's what discipleship means. It's to cause, to bring to light a new soul, a new thing. Because the soul that sinned has died. Do you understand that? It's something that isn't going to take place in the great by and by. It's the thing that is taking place in us, and that thing is called, the process of that is called discipleship. There is nothing either inherently right or wrong in this process. It's just stuff that is either dead or isn't dead yet. Do you understand? Like, all anger is simply frustrated greed of the soul.
I don't want to go through all those things now, but all separation from self or separation from another person is murder.
All withholding from another person what you're feeling is the evidence that you hate that person. It doesn't matter, you got to come to this thing, it doesn't matter what your words are. These are eternal things. They're spirit. Spirit says, if I withhold something from you, no matter how horrendous, the fact that I'm withholding it from you is the evidence that I hate you, no matter what my words say. If I withdraw myself from you, it's the evidence that I've murdered you. Now,
each of those, hate, murder, anger is frustrated greed. The only reason you ever get angry is because your greed is frustrated. All of those things are death penalty sins. The soul that sins shall die. You're not simply sitting around as a victim of life circumstances. As long as you think you're a victim, you will by definition remain alone. All victims have to be alone. There's no such thing as corporate victimhood. You understand? Once you become a victim, you have to remain forever alone. No matter what you try to do, as long as there's any part of you that believes you're a victim, you will have to be alone. You can never be, because it's a spiritual thing. You see, it doesn't matter what you do on top of that. Now, hear me. The soul that sins shall die. Accept your death today. Abandon yourself, because it's bad self, it's a futile self. Pick up your cross, accept your death penalty, and then you will follow him. Amen?
But if a man be just, and do that which is lawful and right, hath not eaten upon the mountains, neither hath...
Now stop there. Hath not eaten upon the mountain. In other words, you have not gained your sustenance from your high place activity. You have not danced your dance. Now, if you read this, you'll find there's none one of us, there's not one of us that is in this position. Mm-hmm. So the only one that is, this is a revelation of Jesus Christ.
And hath not eaten upon the mountains, neither hath lifted up his eyes to the idols of the house of Israel, neither has defiled his neighbor's wife, neither has come near to a menstruous woman, and has not oppressed any, but has restored to the debtor his pledge, has spoiled none by violence, has given his bread to the hungry, and hath covered the naked with a garment, he that has not given forth upon usury, neither has taken any increase, that has withdrawn his hand from iniquity, has executed true judgment between man and man, has walked in my statutes and has kept my judgments to deal truly, he is just and shall surely live, saith the Lord God.
Okay.
That's pretty clear.
It's the just shall live by his faith. I mean, you understand? It has to go beyond whatever position you're in. No matter, I mean, you understand? I am furious at Lee, but it has nothing to do with spiritual stuff. You understand? I mean, and I recognize all the penalties for that fury. And I don't know what to do about it, except to speak it. That's all I know how to do. I can't meet these standards. I have so badly messed up each one of those positions that we just read about, that there's no hope for me. I must die. If I die, I have lost the right to myself. If I die, I see that the penalty is just. I am rightly accused. I am therefore the chief of sinners. Therefore, the just shall live by faith. His faith has a possibility of happening. But as long as I maintain, if I hold on, I can't. If I'm a victim, you understand? If you're the chief of sinners, by definition, you can't be a victim.
Yeah, who would it be that would victimize you?
Yeah.
You win.
Yeah.
You understand? You cannot be a victim. If you're the chief of sinners, you cannot wait for something better to take place. This is it. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. There's at least as much revelation of Christ in these few verses as there is in the whole New Testament.
Oh, shit.
Well, in me, this description of the only one that's just, to me, this is the clearest I've ever seen, that it has nothing to do with any of us.
Amen. Right. Now, if he beget a son, now it's talking, Let's go ahead.
Yeah.
Huh?
Should we read that?
If he beget a son that is a robber, a shedder of blood, and that does the like to any one of these things, and that doeth not any of those duties, but hath eaten upon the mountains, and defiled his neighbor's wife, has oppressed the poor and needy, has spoiled by violence, has not restored the pledge, has lifted up his eyes to the idols, has committed abomination, has given forth upon usury, and has taken increase, shall he then live? He shall not live. He hath done all these abominations, he shall surely die. His blood shall be upon him.
Wow.
Yeah. That's really weird. It's almost like, you know, the Jews, when they said, Abraham is our father, maybe he gives the assist, but if the righteous guy gets a son that does all these things, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
His blood is on him.
The blood is on the son. There's no, God has no grandsons. It's the bottom line.
You are the father of the devil, too.
Yeah. Now, one of the, because of things that have happened, we've been studying a lot and talking a lot to different people about what the menstrual cycle of a woman means and why all of these scriptures in the law that say come near to a menstruous woman or have relations with a menstruous woman are sometimes they're like it's a death penalty. And the reason that whole scenario is in there is the idea of having to come near a menstruous woman means spiritually to take advantage of someone in need. Because by definition, if the blood is flowing, it's the need is manifest. Now, it doesn't matter what the need is, but it came about because of Deborah. Because everybody was taking advantage of Deborah in a way. I mean, they were taking advantage of her by trying to get identity from helping her. Do you understand? And then a couple of them did worse than that. But if she in need became a menstruous woman, just like if we take David or Russell or Jim in their position of need, they are in the spirit a menstruous woman because there's neither male nor female. If we take advantage of a menstruous woman or get identity from helping someone in need, we have come near to a menstruous woman. You understand spiritually? And it's like you read the scriptures about the penalty for having relationships or coming near to a menstruous woman and it blows you away. You finally understand why all that stuff's in the scripture.
That's really wild. When I was talking to Lee over there, this thing hit me and it just was weird. She was talking about being offended and not, we were talking about being offended and not saying anything. And it just struck me, I mean, this is gross, but it's like a tampon that is hidden and so the blood is not manifested. But I mean, I don't know if anybody knows how gross a tampon is, but it's really gross. And I told her that.
Thankfully, I do not know anything about
it. The withholding of the need or the offense or whatever it was like a tampon. I mean, it's, trust me, it's really gross. It gets bad, fast. Anyway, I just thought that was
fun. It just got through to you and Rick in particular were trying to tell me about about how I took advantage of her and hurt her.
No. The penalty, someone had to die. She died. Where are we?
14.
We'll see. Now, lo, if he beget a son that sees all his father's sins which he has done and considers and does not such like, that has not eaten upon the mountains, neither has lifted up his eyes to the idols of the house of Israel, has not defiled his neighbor's wife, neither has oppressed any, nor withholden the pledge, neither has spoiled by violence, but has given his bread to the hungry, has covered the naked with a garment, and has taken off his hand from the poor, that has not received usury nor increase, has executed my judgment, has walked in my statutes, he shall not die for the iniquity of his father, he shall surely live.
Okay. Now, this thing about that he is, that hath taken off his hands from the poor. What that means, Israel had no social systems. Do you understand? They had no programs to help anybody. What they did was, each synagogue had on next to it a hospice. And therein they took care of the poor and the blind and the naked. And they became, the person in need became part of that synagogue because the hospice was next to it. And that's where we got hospital from. And the synagogue was the place of study, the place of learning, the place of understanding. And as it was transferred into the German language when it was there, it became the German word for synagogue is Schule, and therefore it became school. So we got schools and hospitals now that are independent entities. This illness of it is people are placing their hands on the poor and they become homeless pimps, they become poor pimps. They become people who make a living by the fact that they are homeless and poor and sick. They become doctors and nurses and all these great professions that in fact are so evil spiritually you can't even understand it. Because they take and make money off the need. Do you understand? So rather than having a part of a community who the need comes in, and the need is what melds and molds and welds and knits each person together, they go somewhere else to meet the need, and there's a whole world of people who make their living from need. And they're all called pimps. I don't care how, I don't care if it's Michael DeBakey, I don't care if it's Mother Teresa, if they're making their living or their sustenance or their identity from doing something to meet need, they are pimps in the eyes of God. You understand? This is because they have not taken their hands from the poor. They have used the poor to make a living. Now, can you feel the sliminess of that? Can you feel how slimy it is to have social programs for the poor? That's why the United States cannot be blessed. Man, it's no story. Do you all understand that? It's important. Otherwise, you'll be deceived. Okay. Rex, you want to read for a while?
As for his father, because he cruelly oppressed, spoiled his brother by violence, and did that which is not good among the people, lo, even he shall die in his iniquity. Yet say ye, why doth not the son bear the iniquity of the father? When the son hath done that which is lawful and right, and hath kept all of my statutes, and hath done them, he shall surely live. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The son that not bear the iniquity of the father, neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him.
Okay, that's why in the Greek, in the New Testament, almost everyone is of the opinion that the New Testament was written in Hebrew, then translated later into Greek, and that's the only thing we have. But in the Greek, the word for this word son here, which is ben in Hebrew, it's a fully mature son, and it's to place the mature son, the fully tested son. The immature, the newborn, the darling infant is technon. The mature, fully tested, fully perfected son is thesios. And the placing of this son that does not bear the iniquity of the father is called huiothesios in the Greek. And it's translated in English as adoption.
I knew that when we read 14, that's got to be, if you beget a son who sees the father's evil and turns from it, that's, you're of your father the devil. But in this placing of the son, you disavow the father's guidance.
Amen. You leave the gods of your fathers.
That's why it's so vital that you leave all of the value systems of your, whoever you are. There can be no value system of whoever you are brought into the kingdom, because it has to be naked, empty, so that the placing of the Son can be made manifest. And nothing can be brought into that.
Is that what Christ did as Son of Man?
Yeah. The placing of the Son.
Okay.
Huiothesios, adoption. That's why all of Romans 8 is about this adoption. Okay.
But if the wicked will turn from all of his sins that he hath committed, and keep all my statutes, and do that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live. He shall not die. All his transgressions that he has committed, they shall not be mentioned unto him. In his righteousness that he hath done, he shall live. Have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, saith the Lord God, and not that he should return from his ways and live?
Okay. Now this is in 22, it's why it's so important that we understand in 1 Corinthians, this is a legal matter. Jesus Christ is made unto us righteousness. He's made unto us sanctification. He's made unto us wisdom. It doesn't matter what we think about any of that. It's either we have taken everything about us to the cross, we've lost the right to ourselves, and we've come by faith and said that Jesus Christ has made unto me wisdom, Jesus Christ has made unto me sanctification, but more than all, Jesus Christ has made unto me rightness or righteousness. Now, righteousness has become a religious term in English. But in all other languages, the word righteousness just means the desire to be right. You understand? Please. If you never again care whether you're right or not, just so simply see how simple your life would become. Especially Herod. I mean, can you stop a minute and see if you, I mean, I'm serious. I'm poking fun at you again, but it's serious. If you never again had to be right.
I can barely conceive.
But it's freedom.
Yeah. It's a small
because way. Christ, by faith, is made unto you righteousness. It's total. Okay, what were you?
Well, I was, when we were driving today, we were following Doug in the step van. And here he was ranting and raving because Doug and all Texans driving the wrong lane. With the, you know, it's the left lane. And so, well, I grew up here, yeah, you're right. You know, everybody does it. He is just, well, I tell you, look, he's still doing it. And I said, we started talking about, you know, the judgments you make about a situation. You know what I mean? It doesn't really matter. I said, our covering extends only so far as the car we're in the step van. I mean, you know, we don't have to make, we don't have to do anything but follow it, you know. And he saw that, and it was really funny because he was really like, when we stop, I said, well, when we stop, you just tell Doug, you know, I mean, if it really bothers you, say something. Well, it didn't, because it was all just, as he admitted later, it's just something to keep his mind busy. You know what I mean? That's what he's saying.
Puffery.
Yeah,
I mean, it didn't even bother me.
Because he forgot to tell Doug. When we pulled over, it was no longer an issue when we started unloading.
But that's an example of what I was talking about. That's behavior that I saw, right, and I learned, and I make a decision to do it. And I could just as easily not do it.
But when you do stuff like that, you know, the limited time I was around your dad,
that's what I'm talking about. The sin, when the soul sees the sins of his father and turn from it. There's a moment. I see what I'm going to do, and I can turn from it, or I can do it. And you, unfortunately, you do it. It's ludicrous.
Okay. Rex.
Righteous turneth away from his righteousness and committeth iniquity and doeth according to all the abominations that the wicked man doeth, shall he live? All his righteousness that he hath done shall not be mentioned. In his trespass that he hath trespassed, and in his sin that he has sinned, and then shall he die.
Now that is awesome.
Yeah.
I don't understand.
That means if you've done everything perfect your entire life, and at the last minute you stub your toe, then you're guilty of stubbing. I mean, then everything you've done that's right beforehand is meaningless.
Who told you you were perfect, though? I mean, you would have to be.
Well, yeah, but you know, because I write unto you that know the law. You know when you break the law.
Romans 3.
So the fact is that the purpose of all rules, the purpose of all systems, the purpose of all how-tos is to shut up your mouth. That's what a Pharisee is, somebody that thinks they can take a how-to and do it. Right? And so I mean, pretty soon they get down. Have you ever noticed how thin people a person's Bible can get? You know what I mean?
Yes.
Pretty soon it's one verse. I'm okay. But you're full of shit, you know. I mean, you understand, I'm okay is a rule of law. It's a law. It's just as real as this. I'm okay, you're okay. The pop transactional analysis is just a law. It's trying to escape the law of God by creating a less severe law, but they can't keep the less severe law. So then it keeps going less and less, and pretty soon there's nothing. Yeah.
Okay, you're so.
For a fairly good time call.
Pretty soon it's just an internal primal scream.
Yeah, because it's all of the certainty of your own failing, it all by definition has to become internalized because you can't afford to reveal it. And you go around to this thing, and you think you have this sneaky suspicion everybody else is getting it right.
Oh, yeah.
And so you have to act like you're getting it right. Have you ever been in a corporate environment? But the corporate environment is it's rare. Every once in a while you find someone, you know, that there's life there. There's something real.
And maybe they're attempting to attack the validity of one's integrity.
I'm sure. But it's like nobody has gotten it right. But everybody is acting like they're getting it right.
You know what? The vice president of personnel comes to my office and closes the door to get sustenance before he goes back out again. I just realized that. That's what he's doing.
He's what?
He comes to my office to...
To complain.
To relax and to have somebody say stuff to him, and then he leaves.
He's got his shot. He's got his injection.
Yeah, I just realized that's what he's doing. Clearly. And if he's the head, you know, he's the head personable person. So if anybody should have their personable bullshit together, it should be him. Right?
It should be personal.
He should like people and manage people and have control of his emotions and blah, blah, blah.
Actually, he has to put out more energy because his is a bigger law.
Yet ye say, the way of the Lord is not equal. Hear now, O house of Israel, is not my way equal? Are not your ways unequal?
Now, equal there is the word for fair. Again,
it's not fair.
Is two.
Fair is.
Is not.
I mean, daily something goes on in your mind where you have compared, right?
Yeah.
And in
daily.
With Harry's hourly.
Harry's daily.
Oh, keep going.
Yeah.
More like every 5 minutes.
Harry.
Time
yeah.
5 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm the 5 minute manager.
The distance of it that it takes for you to find something that's unfair is the distance of your Sabbath day's journey.
That's it.
Well, my mind is if we're 75, yeah. Cuts off 6:35, and I'm sitting in that line waiting my turn to get down to the exit line. All the bastards come up the right hand lane and cut over. Every morning, it makes me so mad.
So that's your substate journey.
Bottom line is, when we complain, when we murmur, and you got to hear this if you've never heard anything else, what you are saying, spiritually, what you are saying to God is, you're not fair. The moment you complain, the moment you murmur about any situation, you are saying to the Holy One, you are not fair. You understand that? Does that compute?
Yeah.
Yeah, all too well.
Or you're saying, I want fair.
No. Yeah. Yeah, that comes next. The first thing, the complaint, is saying to God, you're not fair. Now that's why so many people were wiped out for murmuring. Yeah. He killed 23,000 people, just like that, for complaining.
That's not fair.
Rex, he can't take any more layups. You gotta be back on the other side of the ring.
That's
Jordan all the way through.
Foot foul.
Okay.
When a righteous man turneth away from his righteousness and committeth iniquity, he dieth in it. For his iniquity that he hath done shall he die.
Okay, now, the lead-in to all of this section was the idea that a man could live, theoretically, a righteous life and then do one thing wrong, and he was judged only by the one thing. Okay, he's saying that's the ultimate, and he's saying, you can't even say that's not fair. You understand? What are you laughing at?
Just had this picture of Mother Teresa on her deathbed. You know, Sister Matriel, come here. Fuck you.
She just blew it.
All those good works.
She's bringing to the poor and she trips over a log. She goes, God damn it!
You always.
It was like that story we heard on the news today. This coach was hit by lightning. There was no rain. It was just dry lightning out of nowhere. And I thought, I thought somebody's prayers were answered. You know, one of the players.
Where are those kids?
No practice today.
Get down and give me 50, right? Yeah, it was some coach.
Die?
Yeah, I'm dead. Boom. Like,
can you do that? Okay, Rex wants to get back to the Holy Word. I want you to look at that look.
He's poised.
Well, things are turning around at 27.
play by play.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's going to do the McClendon bit,
yeah.
Right?
He said things are turning around in 27.
And again, when the wicked man turneth away from his wickedness that he hath committed, and doeth that which is lawful and right, he shall save his soul alive.
That means that the son of a bitch can go through the whole damned life, and in one moment...
Like the thief on the cross.
Amen.
Oh, that's great.
Because he considereth and turneth away from all his transgressions that he hath committed, he shall surely live, he shall not die. Yet saith the house of Israel, the way of the Lord is not equal. O house of Israel, are not my ways equal? Are not your ways unequal? Therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel, every one according to his ways, saith the Lord God. Repent, turn yourselves away from all of your transgressions, so iniquity shall not be your ruin. Cast away from you all your transgressions, whereby ye have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit.
Hallelujah.
For why will ye die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, saith the Lord God. Wherefore, turn yourselves and live ye.
Okay, no, where, see that yourselves there in the 32 is in italics?
Yeah.
It says where, the Hebrew word for turn there is shub. And it means, it's this thing we've talked about before, but it means turn from facing east and turn. In other words, literally it means to leave yourself, shub, and live.
The real problem he's talking about here is the place of thinking that you're in the first category.
That's right.
The place of thinking that, oh, wait a minute, my whole life I've been perfect. I just had this one little screw up. I'll stand on my record.
That's why I used to have so much fun when I interviewed preachers or religious guys, you know, on television or radio. Because I always knew that I was the chief of sinners. I didn't have any problem with that. But I also knew they were. And they'd come on with his righteousness. You know, and it's just murder.
The other thing about that is there's no history.
Yeah.
There's no history. It's what are you now.
And that's why the Hebrew concept of time is so vital. There's no concept of history in Hebrew. There's only prophecy. And the prophecy is this instant.
I was really worried the world would blow up the last 4 or 5 days.
Me too. I turned it in.
So I was like the whole time thinking, wow, it could blow up and I would be caught in iniquity right now. It's like a feeling I would have every little iniquity.
Well, that's the 18th chapter of Ezekiel. Cast away from you all your transgression, cast it away. The word cast away, again, it's these incredible words that are, you miss the impact of them. The word in Hebrew there means to divorce. Divorce your transgression. You are, again, sin isn't what you do. That's a trespass in the law. Sin is what you are. You got to divorce you. Divorce your transgression, whereby you have transgressed, and make you. The word for make is asa. It means, again, in Hebrew, the word for make and the word for understand are the same. You see how incredible that is? Understand a new heart and a new spirit, for why will you die? Huh? Build you an altar. Make or build. Ana or us. Build. Understand a new heart. Understand the altar. There's only been one altar. Present yourself the living sacrifice on that altar. Take no thought for your life. Take no thought for tomorrow. Understand that every single time you believe you have been victimized, you are being deceived. It's really big. That's enough. Everybody understand perfectly?
Can we lay hands on my back?
I didn't know you were.
Every time the word reins, R-E-I-N-S, is used, and he's possessed my reins, the word is for kidneys. And what it means and what it signifies is that he is the author and the controller of the process of elimination, of the waste, as well as that which you consider to be good. And almost without exception, when there are kidneys problems or any kind of elimination problem, spiritually, the obvious meaning is heavy duty. It's that you don't, it's you've measured your confession. You've retained, for whatever reason, because of fear, probably. And the fear internalized because the fear of confession has created something solid now. And so
you've got to begin to see that confession or is simply is the same thing as elimination of waste in the body. And your habit of measuring confession and letting out the confession when you want to, or when it gets to a right point, or when you understand it, has got to, is the source of all evil. And the abandonment is it has, and this is, there's no better way to, I mean, it has to be revealed. Then the thing which should be natural as breathing becomes painful. Is that all clear? You understand what I'm talking about? Is everybody else? Because this is happening for your benefit. But see what it is. Once you've seen it, seen its purpose. Baby, come over here. I hear it when you're way over there. For some reason, it's important when we lay hands at you. I don't understand why necessarily, but. You have got to see that you are no longer the subject of your life. That Christ is the subject of your life. And that your only job is to present your body a living sacrifice. What's there is there for His purpose. Whether it's what happens the way you think it should or not is immaterial any longer. But that which is ministered to self has now caused you pain. You have been bought with a price. Now, let it be. Amen? Mm-hmm. Father, thank you. Praise you. In obedience to your word, the elders and everybody else here, as He's called for, and now we anoint Him with oil. Now touch Him by Your Spirit, Father, even as I say. Thank You. Flow through. Heal from the top of His head to the bottom of His feet. Let Him know that You have possessed and controlled His kidneys, and now let them, let the process be smooth and easy. Let him feel your power. Let him know your power so he doesn't have to continue to hold back. In Jesus' name.